Lord, everybody.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Hallelujah. If you love Jesus, give God a praise, everybody. If he's righteous and glorious and ever victorious and reigning over us, hallelujah. I praise him for the great God that he is today. Hallelujah. I thank the Lord for the opportunity to stand before you this morning. God is great. Hallelujah. And greatly to be praised. I was given the honor of being asked to introduce the speaker this morning. Amen? So I count that as a great privilege, and I'm happy to be here. Amen? Hallelujah. I hope you are too. But I just want to thank the Lord today because I have a personal relationship with the speaker of the hour this morning. Amen. I thank the Lord for Sister Loreen Jones this morning. God is good. I praise the Lord. Yes, go ahead. That's all right. I praise the Lord for her. I thank the Lord because a little over five years ago, I lost my mother. Hallelujah. My father at the time greatly desired to be remarried again. If you knew anything about him, he greatly wanted to be married again. And we supported that. Hallelujah. Even as a family, I thank the Lord. It was even something that my mother had talked to us about as children. You know, she was like, your father can't be alone. Y'all be there for your father. Amen. So I thank God for that. I thank God even for that transition that helped. And so we were supportive of it, of course. But at 40 years old, I didn't necessarily feel like I needed another mother figure. Amen. I was happy for my dad, and I was trained right and raised right, so I was going to be nice, and I was going to be respectful, and I was going to be supportive, but that was going to be his relationship. And God bless you, Dad. I'm happy for you. Amen? But that's going to be your wife, and I'm going to be nice and, you know, cordial and all those things. But I thank the Lord because his thoughts are above our thoughts. His ways above our ways. And I thank the Lord, he knows what we need when we don't know what we need. And I thank the Lord, I praise the Lord, because he met and married then Sister Loreen Kelly, now Sister Loreen Jones. And she came to meet us before they were married. She came to meet us, and my siblings and I, had all just kind of chattered amongst each other. You know, y'all know it was a lot of chatter going on then. It was a lot of chatter. You know, and so we say, same thing I said, we're going to be nice, you know, but y'all know this is right. You know, we had an understanding within each other. And I thank the Lord for this woman who came into the house. We came in with our guards up, ready just to be kind, but keep her at arm's length. And within about 15 minutes, we were all gathered around her. She was talking all nice and sweet. My sister had came up with a name with her instantly, y'all. I promise it had to be within the first hour or two. We were calling her Mama Ree. And I never thought I would call, I'm not calling nobody else Mama nothing. You know, but there we are. And my brother was late that day. And he came in and he was so shocked. He said, what are y'all doing, you traitors? You know, I was like, he was so mad. But listen, just wait. Just wait and see, and then she got him too. You know, she was just this wonderful, wonderful woman. When I heard the name stepmom, I always thought that that was a bad word. You know, I always thought that that was a very unkind word to use, but I find myself using it a lot with the greatest respect, admiration. I thank the Lord for my stepmother this morning. I do. I thank the Lord. This woman has been a blessing in my life. I praise the Lord for her. I praise the Lord for all of our talks that we have had. I praise the Lord how she encourages me and helps me. I thank the Lord how she never... She always had us be welcome. She wouldn't even change anything in the home for the first couple years. I praise the Lord for blessing us with someone so sensitive to our needs. I praise the Lord for that. And not only that, I praise God that that she is a spiritual powerhouse. God is good. So I praise the Lord because he not only blessed me once, you know, but he blessed me twice. He continues to give me that mother figure in my life, and I praise the Lord for that. I praise him how she beautifully transitioned into our family, and not only that, into our church body as well. I thank the Lord for that. I thank the Lord that she taught me that I can make it. Hallelujah. You know, I had such respect for her, but I would look up at her husband's funeral, and she's up on the pulpit singing, "You Can Make It." And we kept all giving her out for that. "You don't have to do that. You don't have to do that." It was something my father really wanted her to do. And she had the strength and the character, and she believes what she says. She believed what she was singing, and you can feel it. I thank and praise the Lord for that. I thank the Lord how I picked up two brothers. Amen. God is good. Hallelujah. I praise the Lord for his goodness. I thank him today for Sister Lorene Jones. I pray that you sit attentively. I pray that you will really just open your hearts and your ears to hear what this great woman of God has to say. Here she is on Mother's Day. Hallelujah. Preaching the word of God. Strength all over again. Amen. So we praise God. If you could just give her a great big old preach the word. Preach the word. Preach the word. Sister Jones.
Praise the Lord, everybody. You may be seated, please, please. Amen. That is my intention. God is so good. He's a great God. He is a great God. And sometimes it takes us a long time to figure that out. Through the trials and the temptations and the hardships. And he stands right there with us, encouraging us. When we don't see how we can do it, he lets us know you can move it. You can make it. Amen. That song is my testimony that no matter what you're going through, no matter how hard the test, you can make it. When you're broke and don't know where you're going to live, you can make it. I praise the Lord. I was homeless. I lived in my car. But I made it. So when I tell you, you can make it. I tell them I got stories, y'all. I got stories about the great God that we serve. When you're all alone, family turns against you. Church turns against you. And you have to sing a song and nobody will sing with you. You walk in the church and sit in your seat. And nobody will say praise the Lord to you because of a lie that was told. But you said, "Lord, I just need you." And he said, "You can make it." And 50 years later, hallelujah, I'm still here. And I found out that if I have the Lord, if I do his will, there is nothing that can come upon me that I can't make it. We just have to believe the Lord. And when things get hard, find your song, y'all. Sing. Make yourself happy. Open your mouth and give God glory. Give him praise and honor. For he is worthy of all praise. Worthy of honor. And he yet gives us the strength that we need because we can make it. Oh. When I tell you what I know, what I know, what I know, that there's nothing too hard for God. No way, no way that you can't walk in and be saved. No way. No trial you can't make it through. No hardship that'll take you out. No person can you love more than God. I'm gonna get to my message. But I want you to know, God is a good God. And he's a mighty God. He's a sustainer and he's a keeper. He's joy in the midst of sorrow. He's peace in the storm. He is our God. And we give him glory. And we give him honor. And we praise his name. I give honor to God tonight, today, to my bishop, to the ministers on the roster, to the musicians, praise the Lord, and to all of God's people, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He said, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Amen. We're going to go, and you know, I'm not long. I think that was about the longest it's going to be, so. We're going to go to Matthew 27:51. Praise the Lord for the mothers. Happy Mother's Day.
Amen.
There is no greater thing that God has given this world than mothers. Mothers. Because without us, there would be nobody. Uh-huh. That's right. Y'all wouldn't have to say thank you if it wasn't for us. You wouldn't have to eat if it wasn't for us. All right, you wouldn't be in the world if it wasn't for us. Thank you, mothers. Hallelujah. Matthew 27:51. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake. And the rocks rent. I need to go to Hebrews 10:20-22. By a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Amen. You may be seated. Lord, in the name of Jesus, bless. Hallelujah. Lord, you speak. We're going to talk tonight, today. I don't know why I keep saying night, but today, beyond the veil. Beyond the veil. The first reference that we have of the veil is in the Old Testament, when God had a place where he could come and visit with his people. And he told them how to build his tabernacle. He had the outer court where everybody was welcome. You could just come. And those who had sacrifices, they could come and bring their sacrifice. And the priests had another place where they would go, and that was into the courts where they had the altars set up and for sacrifice, and they would take the offerings and kill the offerings and offer them to God. Then there was a place called the Holy Place, and in order to enter there, they had to wash. It was ceremonial. They would go to where they had set up and they would physically wash, which was symbolic of cleansing, so that they were prepared to go into the holy place. And so they would want to, God only chose one man. I'm going to try not to hurry because I want to get my point across. He would choose one priest who was able to go a little further. Even though everybody was curious about what was in the holy place, everybody wanted to know what was there. But nobody was allowed to go in to see. They could only hear about what was in the holy place. And the priests were not quick to go in because they knew that in the presence of God was an awesome place. It was a fearful place. It was a place where it was so much power and so much holiness and so much cleanliness and righteousness that they were fearful about going into the presence of God. Everybody wanted to go, but nobody wanted to pay the price. Everybody wanted to be there, but I'll let you go because I'm not ready to die. So they would offer the sacrifice for themselves. And then they would go into the place, the Holy of Holies. To go in, they had to have the bells, I call them bells, on the bottoms of their skirts. And they would have a rope tied around their waist. So that if and when they went in, they had to be holy enough, clean enough, worthy enough that God would give them mercy and allow them into his presence. So when they went in, the priest would have to do his little dance. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. He would have to go into that place. And he would have to enter in with thanksgiving and with praise. And he would make the sound of praise. And as long as they heard the bells, as long as there was movement, then they knew that God said, I will allow you into my presence. If the bells and the stopped and the praise stopped, then they would have to pull him out by the rope because he was not worthy to be in the temple. Behind the veil was where God was, and he could not allow the people to see his glory. He could not allow them into his presence because he would destroy them. Not that he didn't love them, but the sin that dwelled in us repelled us away from God. It kept us at a distance. If we violated that distance, then we would die. Not that he didn't want us, but we were not worthy to come beyond the veil. So when we move over into the New Testament, and I'm not going to be, y'all going to be so surprised when you find out I'm going to be through. When we move over into the New Testament and we find Jesus, the Lord said in the beginning, he said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. So when God created man, he created him in his image and in his likeness. He was perfect, sin-free. But when man sinned, then something had to be done. So you have to understand that when God spoke in the beginning, he was also speaking about the future. So he said, let us make man. I'm going to make man as God. And I'm going to redeem man as Christ. So he said, I'm going to do it in the past now, and then I'm going to have to come back in the future. But because of his holiness and because of his righteousness, he had to veil himself in flesh. He had to put on the garment of a man. He had to envelop the holiness of himself into flesh so that he would be like us, so that he would be our kinsman redeemer, so he would be able to stand in our place before himself. Because he said, look, I want you with me. I want to dwell with you. I want to live with you. But I can't let you in my presence the way it is. So I'll veil myself. And so when he veiled himself, he was able to be in the midst of his people. He was able to talk to his people. He was able to tell them about his goodness. In his flesh, he was able to say, peace be still. He was able to call back death. He was able to tell Lazarus, rise and walk. He was able to embrace his creation because now he was veiled in flesh. And so the time came when he had to redeem us. But he was in a veil. He was behind a veil. And the veil had to be removed in order for him to do his redemptive work. So he allowed man to abuse him. He allowed them to beat him. And with every stripe, the veil was rent. With every stripe, the flesh was torn. The crown of thorns punched through the veil until they beat him till he didn't appear to be human. The veil that covered his holiness was rent from top to bottom. And man had the opportunity now to be in the presence of God. Now I'm making a way for my people that they can dwell with me, be with me. I'm removing the barriers. I'm fixing it now so that whatever you want, all you have to do is ask me. I'm fixing it now, and I have redeemed you. I have taken on sin and conquered it. And now, to ensure that you can be mine, I'm going to take what rebelled or repelled you, and I'm going to give you a piece of it and put it in you. I'm going to give you a piece of my spirit. I'm going to give you the holiness that is in me. I'm going to put it in you so that now you're able to come beyond the veil. But then we have to understand that we have a veil that prevents God from getting to us and prevents us from being what he wants us to be. And that veil is our flesh. We have to get to the place where we personally rend our flesh so that God can do the work in us. He's given us the ability with his spirit to overcome anything, any obstacle, any hindrance. He said, I've given you the earnest of my spirit. I've given you the guarantee that if you want to, if you strive to, you are able to be in my presence. How do I rend my flesh? What is the barrier? My mind. I think I know. I think I understand. I think I have wisdom. I think I have knowledge. And so when God tells me what to do, I have to reason it out. I have to come to my own conclusion. I have to be able to understand it and feel it and know it's right. I have to learn that when God speaks, I respond. I don't ask questions. I just respond. My ideas, my mental pictures, I don't understand and I just can't see it. I need somebody to explain it to me. I understand what I'm told I have to do, but I feel I don't understand, and yeah, you know, I have to pray about it. No, you just have to do it. You just have to learn obedience. You don't have to understand what God says or what he requires. You don't have to reason it out. All you have to do is do it. We have abilities and talents. And we want to make money with our abilities and talents. And I can sing like a mockingbird. And so I can go into the world and I can sing and make millions and billions of dollars. And I leave God out. Because I need the money. I need the position. I need the prestige. I need the honor. How come I can't just sing praises to God and let him bless me? The cattle on 1,000 hills belongs to the Lord. You mean he can't bless you enough that you have to do the things that are against his will? His gifts and callings he give you to work for him, to do for him. We have to rend and tear our flesh down. God has done his part. We have to learn how to surrender to his will. All he requires is that we repent. That means what? Just I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. I do anything when I want to, how I want to, where I want to. I'm just a sinner. What's so hard about that? I am a sinner. God is not pleased with me. I don't live for him. And in order to live for him, he said, be baptized. That's all he said. Be baptized in his name. Look, I'm going to be your father. I'm your daddy. Take my name. You want me? Take my name. How many people adopt children? When you take them in, give, I want you to have my name. You belong to me, I want you to have my name. What's so hard about that? And then he said, what? I'll give you the gift of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to give you a piece of me to ensure that when I call, you'll be able to come. So when he said, come my people, that's in you that is already God is going to go back to the one who gave it. And that means if he in me, I'm going with it. Hey, I'm going too. He said, come my people. I got your name. I got your spirit. And so when you come and break through the sky and say, come, I'm coming. Because I've broken my veil. I've broken my hindrance. Don't wait on God to break it. You break it. He gives you your word, how you have to do it, what he requires, what he wants. It's all written. Pick the book up and read it. Don't wait on somebody to tell you. Pick it up and read it. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. We have to go beyond the veil. Get out of self. Step outside of me. What I want, what I desire. What I want is the Lord. What I want is to be in his presence. And so whatever it is that's keeping you out, he going to help you. He going to help. Look, here I go with a story. I got one story. I'm going to tell you a story. I have a son. Y'all don't know him. Thank the Lord. Amen. Praise God. So I'll talk about him. You talking about a test. But I love that boy. I was laying in bed one night. You know, I pray constantly for him. I'm laying in bed, like the apostle said, whether awake or whether asleep, I'm not sure. But my body took off. I went through the roof. I went into the sky. I went out into space. I was going so fast, and I was like, thank you, Jesus, the rapture. Oh, Lord, I made it. Hallelujah. I'm praising God. Oh, my God, I made it. Went past the planets. I mean, I was on, ooh-wee, I was getting it. And I'm just waiting, you know, Lord, where you take it? Wasn't nobody there but me now. I guess I was the only one that made the rapture. But I was flying. And I got coming down, and to this day, I can see it, but I can't describe where I was. And I came down, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, I have made it into glory. I was just rejoicing. I got about that far from the ground. And I said, but Billy, my son, instant replay, boom, back the other way. I went back past the planets, back down into the atmosphere, back down through my roof and into my bed. And the Lord said, you love your son more than you love me. And I said, take him away from me then. Take him out. So it wasn't too long, a few months later, I had another one. And this time I went back to the same place and I landed. And I looked out and back where the ushers are standing, it was a fence. On the other side of the fence was total darkness. I'm in the light, total darkness. And through that darkness, I saw Billy, my son. I went to the fence, climbed over the fence, going to get Billy. I left glory, went back into darkness. Because I loved my son. And when I got hold to him, I'm pulling him. He didn't want to go. I'm pulling him back to the fence. I get to the fence and I figure out he don't want to go. I tried to climb back over the fence, but I couldn't get back. It was at that moment that I told the Lord, I don't need you to make me not love him. But make me give him up. Because he's a hindrance to me. And I had to figure out that sometime we got to give up folks. That we love them more than we love God. No man, woman, baby, whoever. It's worth you losing God and losing heaven and losing glory. They're not worth it. Because a day will come when the choice will have to be made. And I made my choice. I love you, but I will leave you. And the Lord has blessed me. I told him nothing and nobody means more to me than you. It's time for us to get real with God. And when he shows us We need to respond. You are here today, and your job today is to obey God and rip your flesh, step out spiritually, and honor God. All he wants is you. He said, repent. Everybody know what you are. Everybody know what you've done. But God will overlook all of that if you choose him. He said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus. Why? For the remission of your sin. And all that mess stuff you've done, he will eliminate it like it never happened. And you will be 100% free of all of it. And then he will give you a piece of himself to live with you, to help you become what he wants you to be. Is anybody here? Anybody that will step out on faith. Faith is simply believing God, believing his word. You don't have to have complete understanding, but just to know that there's a God that loves you like that and will save you no matter what condition you are in. If you are here and just want to give God a chance, give him an opportunity. Try him out. And give him the chance to do for you what needs to be done. If you're here today, we want you to just get up and come on down. We'll come get you and pray with you that the Lord will bless you today. The veil has been rent from top to bottom. The Spirit is ready. God is ready. For those of you who just need some prayer today, that God will help you to open yourself up to him. We need you to come to the Lord today. Hallelujah. Come and give God a chance. He loves you. He loved you when you wasn't no good. He loved you before you were born. He said, before you were formed in the belly, he knew you. And he called you. He said, the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. All he wants is for you just to come and give him a chance. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus just now. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus just now. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus just now. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus just now. He will save you. He will save you. He trust him, only trust him. just now. He is able. He is able. He is able just now. He is able. He is able just now. Only trust him. Only trust. Only trust him just now. Yes, only trust him. Only trust him just now. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Just now, yes, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, just now.
We give God praise for his word on today. Come on, let's give God praise for his word on today. Thank God for his word on today. There's somebody still here. Somebody needs to come to Jesus. You can come to Jesus and you can come right now. You're already here. You're already here. You're already here. Come on up. Let us pray for you. Let us pray with you. Come to Jesus. You don't want to be on the other side of that fence. You don't want to be on the other side of that fence in darkness with no way out. Right now is your opportunity. You can come to Jesus right now. There's no guarantee that when you walk out of those doors that you'll ever have another opportunity to come back. But you can come to Jesus right now. The day that you hear his voice, harden not your heart. For today is the day of salvation. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus right now. The ministers are here. We're here to pray and believe with you. Somebody's getting what they need from God. Somebody realizes that Jesus paid the sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. That allows us to be able to come through the veil into the glory of God. You think that what you've got is good right now. God wants to give you something so much better. He's got something so much better for you than what you got right now. God wants to do more and greater things for everybody. Come to Jesus right now. Come on, give God one more praise. Come on, give God one more praise for his word. We thank God. We thank God for his word. We praise God for the messenger that brought forth the word of God on today. As she was ministering today, I thought that she brought that word as only a mama could. She didn't come with the traditional Mother's Day message. She came as only a mama could. You know, mama, if she's a real mama, mama gonna tell you what you need to hear instead of what you want to hear. Mama's gonna make sure that you know what's right. Good godly mothers are gonna make sure that you get what you need and not what you want. The best Mother's Day gift that you can give is I want to live for God. The best Mother's Day gift that any of us can give to godly mothers, I want to live for God. I want to do what you taught me. I want to walk the way you taught me how to walk. Good godly mothers have trained us up in the way that we should go so that when we're old, we won't depart from it. Keep that word. Keep that word and know that you got to tear down. I got to get outside of my flesh. The day's coming. Judgment day is coming. Judgment day is coming after a while. Amen. As we pray for the souls still here at this altar, that God is going to give them exactly what they need, where they need it. If you get honest with God, God is going to make sure you get what you need. He's giving you what you need right now. Right before we dismiss, we did want to take a moment to honor Sister Jeanette Culpepper. Praise God for Sister Jeanette. Come on, come on. Let's give God some praise for Sister Jeanette. Come on and praise God for the miracle that is Sister Jeanette. Come on, give God some praise for Sister Jeanette. Come on, only God. Come on, I see still got a praise. I still got a praise. Only God can do it. Only God did it. Only God is doing it. Come on. Brother Caleb's been bringing that praise report. Brother Caleb's been coming in and telling about what God is going to do for his mama. And we see today that God is still doing what he does. God is great. Come on, and still got a praise. I saw you. That woman's been through the fire and the flood, and she's still got a praise. Still got a praise. She's still got a yet praise. And yes, I'll praise you. It's so good seeing you. You look good. You look good. We're so glad for what God has done, is doing, and will do. And you'll see greater things than these. We're so glad to have you on today. We had to acknowledge you on this morning. I know that's right. Go ahead and get it. Come on, come on.